Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the 13th chapter of John. Before the festival of Passover, Jesus knew that his time had come to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them fully. Jesus and his disciples were sharing the evening meal. The devil had already provoked Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew the Father had given everything into his hands and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the table and took off his robes. Picking up a linen towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a wash basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he was wearing. When Jesus came to Simon Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but you will understand later." "No," Peter said, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "Unless I wash you, you don't have a place with me." Simon Peter said, "Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus responded, "Those who have bathed need only to have their feet washed, because they are completely clean. You disciples are clean, but not every one of you." He knew who would betray him. That's why he said, "Not every one of you is clean." After he washed the disciples' feet, he put on the robes and returned to his place at the table. He said to them, "Do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you speak correctly, because I am. If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you too must wash each other's feet. I have given you an example, just as I have done, you also must do. I assure you, servants aren't greater than their master, nor are those who are sent greater than the one who sent them. Since you know these things, you will be happy if you do them." When Judas was gone, Jesus said, "Now the human one has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify the human one in himself, and will glorify him immediately. Little children, I'm with you for a little while longer. You will look for me, but just as I told the Jewish leaders, I also tell you now, where I'm going, you can't come. I give you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, so you also must love each other. This is how everyone will know that you are my disciples, when you love each other." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. He loved them fully. Jesus really loved those disciples, that ragtag group. He loved Peter, who had all the characteristics that make for a great leader, and all of the pitfalls that can be part of a leader's demise. He loved Judas Iscariot, ready to betray him. Jesus bent below Judas, putting himself in a servant's position, and forgave Judas. He loved them until the very end. He loved them completely. He loved them fully. He loved them in the end. But they didn't know it was the end. They were gathered for Passover like they did every year. Yet looking back, they must have realized how well Jesus loved them until his dying breath. We've experienced those people who are really good at loving. They're selfless, kind-hearted, and will give you the shirt off their back. Whether knowing it or not, they are following the pattern of Jesus. Only one time in his life does Jesus ever say, "I have given you an example. Do as I do." And it's right here. Serving others and placing ourselves below them is not a suggestion for Jesus. It is what it means to be his follower. This all-inclusive, no-holds-barred type of love crosses every barrier. Jesus loves all of the people whom we find ourselves at odds with. Jesus loves the person whose political viewpoint is at odds with yours. Jesus loves Russians and Mexicans. Jesus loves gay people and transgender people. Jesus loves black people and Hispanic people, and he washes their feet. He loves them fully. This Jesus makes people uncomfortable. It made Peter angry that Jesus would wash his feet. A great teacher, John Vanier, says it like this. He says, you see, Peter has a sense of hierarchy. There are people at the top and people at the bottom. He is quite prepared to wash the feet of Jesus. That is quite a normal and natural situation. And he would probably like people to wash his feet. That is to say, Peter has a vision, a sense of what all our societies are about, the vision of a pyramid. There are a few people at the top, and an immense number right at the bottom. Those at the bottom are the useless ones, people with disabilities, people maybe who are mentally sick, people out of work, immigrants. So Peter has this sense of a hierarchy. What would we do if Jesus appeared in our homes and started washing the dishes, washing the floor, and maybe washing the toilets? What would our attitude be? No, please go into the sitting room. I will bring you some food. Don't do that. In Pope Francis's first year as the Pope, he continued the tradition of washing 12 people's feet to represent Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Only it wasn't 12 Catholic men in the cathedral at the Vatican. He washed prisoners' feet. In fact, that first year they were juvenile prisoners, and it wasn't only Catholic prisoners, but one was even a Muslim. And it wasn't only men prisoners, but two were women. And each year since, the Pope has performed a similar action. The first time this happened in 2013, I talked with so many people, and our reaction was the same. What an example. This Pope is the real deal. Except there are some who were and are very displeased with the Pope's actions. I found this. Edward Peters, a canon lawyer, wrote in a blog post that the Congregation for Divine Worship stipulated in a 1988 letter to bishops that washing of the feet of chosen men represents the service and charity of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. By disregarding his own law in this matter, Francis violates, of course, no divine directive, Peters wrote, according to the AP. What he does do, I fear, is set a questionable example. Chris Gillibrand, whose blog CAFCON covers Catholic news, also disagreed with the Pope's act. Given his active support for the charismatic movement in his diocese, one can only be concerned that he would be prepared to ordain women, Gillibrand wrote. How can the Pope maintain discipline in the church if he himself does not conform himself to prevailing ecclesiastical legislation? Questionable example. Pope here, a questionable example. The love of Jesus is off-putting to some. It's a questionable example. The Pharisees didn't like that he always bent their rules and turned over their tables, quite literally, of power. He's washing the feet of women? He's washing the feet of Muslims? Surely God doesn't love them like he loves us. We're the older brother, upset that the younger brother is getting the party. Friends, when we do that, we are missing the party. Serving others, especially those different than ourselves, is the example of Jesus. He tells us that we will be happy, that we will also be blessed when we serve others like this. And he states that if we want to be part of him, then we will lower ourselves to washing feet. So tonight, Jesus is here to wash your feet. He loves you fully. He loves the aspects of your personality that you wish just weren't there. He loves the way that you're unique and gifted. He looks up from washing your feet with a look of genuine compassion and embrace. If that sounds really intimate, that's because it is. Jesus loves you that much. It's not just a generic love for all the children of the world. It's an individual love for you, Logan, made in his image. It's a love for you, Nick, a child of God. Jesus is going to wash your feet tonight. And then he's going to work through you to wash someone else's feet. Draw near to him tonight. I pray that his love for you will be made real. I pray that you would experience his love, be overwhelmed by his love, and let his love that loves them fully, carry you, draw you close to himself this evening. Let us pray. Jesus, we need a love that sets a questionable example. A love that goes beyond the boundaries that we set up just like the Pharisees. A love that puts ourselves below others. A love that seeks to serve and not to be served. And Jesus, that is really hard for us, like it might have been really hard for you that night, especially as you knelt there at the feet of Judas. And so, Lord, we ask that you would make us servants, that you would grant to us humility, not masochism, Lord, but humility. Not self-hatred, but humility. And that as we learn to serve by starting out serving one another and washing one another's feet, oh, that we might be changed, Lord. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.